There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's Coolest Conversations podcast time, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me is keyboard player Rob Cloris, who's played with or recorded with the likes of Alejandro Escovedo, the Black Crowes, Tom Jones, our very own Little Stevie, as well as Jesse Malin. And it's with Jesse that he wrote our recent coolest song in the world, State of the Art. It's off of Jesse's upcoming album, Sad and Beautiful World, due out in September. Let's give some of that track a listen now, followed by my interview with Rob on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Staring at the window as I ride on, I've been thinking about the world where I've been and gone. Rolling like a river that heads upstream, I hear you happier now since you got clean. It puts you through the paces when you were young, and you still drink the Kool-Aid back where you come from. You walked around town with your collar up, and you never got off on that racist stuff. Living in the state of the art, I'm trying not to take it to heart.
Mighty Manfred here, and it's time for our Coolest Conversations. And joining me today is Rob Cloris, a veteran of the New York City music scene who's performed and recorded with a host of well-known artists, including Tom Jones, the Black Crowes, Alejandro Escovedo, and Jesse Malin. And it's his efforts with Jesse that bring him here for today's chat. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Manfred.
You are certainly welcome. Let me ask you, are you vaxxed to the max?
I am, sir. I am vaxxed to the max, and all my people are, and we're, you know, all doing our part, and there are no side effects, and we're just ready to keep on getting through this hard time.
Well, amen, brother man. Amen. Tell me about your peoples. Were people able to keep healthy over this past year, your family and friends?
Yeah, family and friends were, and everybody did what they were supposed to do, and it worked out great. And we were speaking of Jesse Malin. We were playing the whole time. We were doing live streams. We were recording. Everybody was masking. Everybody was keeping their distance, and playing music with Jesse got me through this whole thing. You know, also I was writing my own music that helps me get through it, but. Yeah, everybody was safe, and we're getting through it.
Fantastic. And we're going to talk about your relationship with Jesse in a moment, but I want to find out some background stuff about you. Now, are you from New Jersey originally?
I am. I'm from New Jersey, and I still live. I've been just around the New York, New Jersey area my whole life, and it's a great place. I get tired of it sometimes, but it's always great to come back to New York.
Well, whereabouts in the Garden State do you hail from originally?
Well, I'm from a little town called Leonia, New Jersey, which is kind of north New Jersey, but it's right near the George Washington Bridge, which connects New Jersey to Upper Manhattan. So it was a nice suburban life, yet literally 3 miles from Upper Manhattan, separated by a river. So it was quite nice.
So is that next to Palisades Park?
It is, actually. Palisades Park, yeah.
So I can't remember how long the amusement park was around, but was it active, and did you ever go to it?
It was a bit before my time. I think the heyday of Palisades Park was maybe in the 60s, and I was born at the end of the 60s. So it's great to be so close to Manhattan, to New York City, the music scene, and I just can't leave.
Well, I know you as being a keyboard player. The bio on your website mentions you're also playing rhythm guitar along with keys on your solo EP, Split Second Meltdown. But yes. Keyboards, that is your first instrument.
It is. Yeah.
When did you start playing?
I started playing piano when I was quite young. I had my classical piano lessons. Then as I got older, I discovered rock and roll. I tried to play whatever rock had keyboards in it. There was quite a lot back in those days, the 70s and the 80s. Then I got into jazz. I went to jazz school. I got heavily influenced by, but right after school, I just kind of got back into the rock and roll and made a career playing around New York City. And that led to touring and recording with some great people.
So you mentioned piano lessons and then later on studying jazz. So your parents, your family, very supportive of your music career?
Yeah, they were. I think my dad was a bit worried, but he's the one who taught me initially to love music. So I have to blame it on him, but he was supportive. And, as I progressed, he started to relax and enjoy the fruits of my practice and, my career.
So you mentioned him teaching you how to love music. How did he do that?
Well, he played piano and he played guitar and he sang. He was into Ray Charles. He was into jazz, and he taught me about the blues. He was into George Jones. He was into Janis Joplin and Stevie Wonder. So there was a lot of music going on in my house when I was growing up. And then my mom was into show tunes and Pavarotti. And so there was a lot of influences happening for young me.
Right. To be certain, it sounds like you had all the bases covered there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some of these artists we've mentioned that you've performed and recorded with, like Tom Jones, Black Crowes, Alejandro Escovedo, what got you under the noses of these folks? Was it working with one particular person first and then others followed? Or how did this process come together?
I just think it was from playing around the city. Probably the first gig I got was I played with John Popper from Blues Traveler fame, and I did a solo record with him. And then that led to Chris Barron, the singer of the Spin Doctors. And that led to, it just kind of word of mouth. I did a tour with Colin Hay, a great singer from Men at Work.
Yeah.
And then somehow I played with Rich Robinson from the Black Crowes, and that got an audition with the Black Crowes. I played with the Black Crowes. I did a tour with Tom Jones, a blues tour with Tom Jones in the States, which was quite thrilling. And kind of the word of mouth.
Well, how does this lead you to working with Jesse? When did you guys meet and when did you first start working together?
Actually, I played with Jesse quite early. I met Jesse in 2001 through his manager at the time, a great artist, Diane Gentile. And I started playing with Jesse in 2002. We did some touring and some recording. And then I think after a few years, I wanted to do other things. And I left and I played with some of these other people. And Jesse and I got back together playing in 2017. And, I've done every show with him almost since then. And we started writing last year. So that was fun.
Well, in fact, that leads us into talking about this week's coolest song in the world, State of the Art. That's a tune that you guys wrote together, right?
Yes.
Well, how did that song happen? How'd you put it together?
Well, he just asked me to just start playing, and we kind of had a tempo going. So I would just kind of play, and it was chord progressions off the top of my head. And he would kind of sing and follow me on the guitar, and he would come up with the melody. He had some lyrical ideas that he liked. And then after we kind of got a sketch, he went back and wrote a bunch of lyrics, and then we got together again, and we got a more clear picture of what the song was going to be. He arranged the song, and he wrote even more lyrics. He writes like 6 pages of lyrics. It's so cool. It's great. It was just really great to see his process. And he writes so many great lyrics, and he runs in Bayou, and you know, how about this, and that's how it came together, just kind of piece by piece and draft after draft, and you know, 6 pages of lyrics got whittled down to 2, and that's how we wrote it.
And so you did this when, over the course of last year, or was it written before the lockdown?
No, it was during the lockdown. It was probably started at the end of the last year. I forget exactly. Maybe it was November, December, January time.
Yeah.
It was really fun. He's great to write with, and really kind of taught me a lot about writing lyrics, like a different way to write lyrics.
So you're going to write 6 pages at least now when you say a song?
since my collaboration with him, I definitely have gotten deeper into the lyrics, and I really enjoyed that.
Well, my notes say that it was produced by Jesse's guitarist, Derek Cruz. We've spoken with him before here on our Coolest Conversations. Is that right? Did he produce the recording?
Yeah. He did. Derek is a very talented guy and a great musician. And he basically kind of shaped all the sessions and the whole sound. So he did a great job.
Well, let me ask you about this because, this tickles me at least. So he's the guitar player, and for this particular song, he doesn't come in until about nearly 30 seconds into the track, which I think was really cool with it starting off, you know, yourself there on the piano and Jesse, and then he doesn't come in until later. Whose idea was that? Was that him holding back?
I think it was. I think we all kind of felt that it was a piano driven song. So yeah. Why not just, you know, just do a kind of a strong piano intro and then the band kicks in. So it was fun to mix it up that way.
Right. Very cool arrangement. So now I was looking on the, the liner notes I was sending, you know, who all was playing on there. This guy, James Cruz, is that Derek's brother playing bass?
No relation. They're from a different Cruz clan, apparently. James Cruz is a great bass player, and Jesse's whole band is pretty kick ass. So it's really a pleasure to play with all those guys.
So this track is due to be included on the upcoming album "Sad and Beautiful World" that's out on Wicked Cool Records this September. Did you and Jesse collaborate on any other tunes on the album?
We did. We collaborated on a song called "Come On," which is kind of like it's kind of reminiscent of like a '50s like a doo-woppy song, which was different for him, and it kind of mixes up the sound nicely on the record. And we also co-wrote "Almost Criminal," and I think he worked on some lyrics with Holly Ramos, who is he's collaborated with in the past. She's really great.
In fact, I'm going to ask you some more about her in a moment. But first, I saw a couple of upcoming live shows for Jesse listed on his website, one at Ardmore Music Hall, July the 24th in Ardmore, Pennsylvania. And then there's also a date listed out here in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Cafe on August the 19th. Now, are you playing those gigs with him?
I believe that, well, the one in in Pennsylvania is a band gig. And okay. I think the one at Hotel Cafe is a duo gig with Derek. I believe so. Or maybe I'll show up there and it'll be a trio gig. We haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly welcome to come on out.
I am way overdue to come to LA. I really need to come out there.
I also saw that there was some dates listed to go overseas, I think in the UK, like towards the end of September. Is that something you do?
Yeah. Yes. Jesse's great.
Jesse has a lot of really diehard fans out in the UK. So hopefully, we'll all be able to go there and, you know, work the record. You know, it's exciting to come out with a new record.
Well, we mentioned, or I mentioned, your solo EP, Split Second Meltdown, that came out last year. Was that a pandemic project?
Yes, I started the songs before the pandemic, and then I found myself in the pandemic wanting to put something out and kind of put my stamp on some solo songs. So yes, Split Second Meltdown came out in July, and it's kind of a harder rocking type of music than Jesse Mellon, it's fun.
Well, I was wondering, so you've done this, the solo EP, given that things are opening back up and, you know, you're involved in other projects, is it going to be hard to follow that up?
As far as juggling things, it's definitely, I kind of have a little more on my plate now. But, you know, I spending my career as a sideman playing other people's music, I'm getting a lot of satisfaction out of doing my own music now. So I think I got the bug. So I'm going to make time to do another EP and some singles and maybe something full length this year, hopefully with a band and actually in the studio. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, good luck with that. You know, we're going to wrap up in a moment, and we're going to go out with a B-side from earlier this year that we didn't get to play at the time. A song of Jesse's called Time Robber. That was a flip side to his single, The Way We Used to Roll. And I see that you play keys on it. What I really love about that song is at first it hit me like something I think that like Don Covey could have written in song. It's also got a bit of Sam Cooke in it. How do you see that song?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like it's kind of like Sam Cooke's kind of a little more soulful sort of. It's the soulful side of Jesse Mellon.
Yeah,
influence. Yeah, that I enjoy that song. So I'm glad that you're playing it.
Well, you also mentioned one of the songs that you had collaborated. A new song you had collaborated with him on, having sort of a doo-wop-y feel to it. Can you remind me what's the name of that one again?
Yeah, that song is called Come On.
Come On.
And it's kind of like a 50s-ish beat. Yeah, it's kind of got like kind of like a stereotypical sort of 50s-ish, 60s, like kind of almost a doo-wop-y sort of beat. And it's different for Jesse, and I think he did a great job with it.
Well, what I'm liking about Jesse is his kind of wide music perspective. And I think that's something you can really help support, given your, like talking about your dad and his love of music and providing this really wide frame of reference. So whether it's whatever type of music he's trying to channel or draw from, doo-wop or soul things, that you recognize that.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I feel like I bring a lot to the table as far as like stylistically, like, you know, just different styles of music that I've, you know, studied and been involved in with a lot of people. And at the same time, he's taught me a lot as well. Like I didn't listen to the Ramones when I was young. I was listening to, you know, keyboard rock, and you know, so he's taught me a lot too. So I think that's why it's successful and enjoyable.
Well, let's talk a moment about this Holly Ramos, because you mentioned Jesse having worked with her in the past and doing so again now, and she and he co-wrote this B-side we're going to listen to, Time Robber. Who is Holly Ramos?
She's a great singer, songwriter, artist that I've met several times, and she does her own thing, and she's worked with Jesse. She's known Jesse for a long time, and she's just a wonderful person and a great writer.
Well, Rob, I want to thank you so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you so much, Manfred. It's been my pleasure.
Well, let's give that earlier B-side a spin now. Here's Time Robber from Jesse Mellon in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
You're a time robber, baby, got your head in the clouds. A time robber, baby, come on. You don't know what you're doing, but you sure do it good. Watch me now as I fall. Well, I'm up on 53rd Street, and you're singing me
Time Robber from Jesse Malin here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. On keyboards was Rob Cloris. And thanks again to Rob for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. And please join me next time when I'll be chatting with singer-songwriter Mark Ribbler. He's also Little Steven's music director for the Disciples of Soul. Mark has a new album out now on Wicked Cool Records called The Whole World Awaits You. And we'll find out all about it on our next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.